You have your Bibles there. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. We're in our third week of looking at the book of Galatians, and we'll continue in this book. There's six chapters. We talked about this before. The first two chapters are just historical, talking about a bit about Apostle Paul and the situation there in Galatia. Galatia was a province, Paul wrote to a number of churches in Galatia. And in the first two chapters are historical. The second two chapters, Paul gets into talking about the gospel and what it means to us, the freedom that we have in the gospel. And then the last two chapters talks about living the life of the Christian life based on that gospel. When you look at the Apostle Paul, and some people, I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine, and he was a minister, and he was talking to someone about the Lord and talking about the scriptures and different things. And the guy said to him, he said, and my friend used a quote, something that Paul said in the scripture. And the fellow said to him, he said, well, I said, I don't pay much attention to what Paul said. He said, I like to read, he said, what Jesus said. And my friend tried to explain to him that if it was in God's word, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter who said it. If it was in God's word, it's God's word. And but there's a lot of people that got that idea, and I've heard people say, and I'm sure you have as well, and meaning good, I'm not saying it's wrong or anything like this, but I'm just saying, I've heard people say that they say, you know, I just read what's in the red. Did everybody hear talk of that? You know, the red, remember the red letter edition, Jesus' words are written in red? And some people say, this all I read is just what Jesus said. But you need to understand something. What Jesus said, he said to the Jewish people. Okay, we're not Jewish. Well, I'm not saying you might have a Jewish background, I don't know, but generally speaking, we're the Gentile world. And what we have, what the Apostle Paul spoke, is what's written to the Gentile world, and what we have to live by. And I'm not saying what Jesus did was wrong or anything like this. No, it's not. That's part of God's word as well, and we learn from these things. But we need to understand that the gospel that we're living in, the freedom that we have in the gospel, comes as a result of a revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. And so we're going to look at that as we get into it in the next couple of weeks, what that means. But before we go any farther, let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. And Father, we believe your Word from the beginning to the end. And now, Lord, as we look into it this morning, we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. Help us to see things in this, Lord, that we can learn to live our lives by. And Father, we give you the praise. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about, or the first week, this is our third week, the first week we talked about the Apostle Paul, who he is. You need to understand the Apostle Paul, if he was alive today before he became a Christian, he would be considered a terrorist. The Apostle Paul went around killing people, slaughtering the Christians, dragging them out of the synagogues, which is their churches, we would say, but the Jewish synagogues, dragged them out of the Jewish synagogues, took them back to Jerusalem to stand trial, and many of them were executed and things like this. He was there, the Bible says, when Stephen, the first martyr in Scripture, when he was stoned to death, everybody laid in their clothes, their cloaks, at the feet of a young man named Saul, the Bible says, which later became the Apostle Paul. Saul was he was a rascal. How's that? But anyway, Saul was a harsh fellow to deal with. And he hunted down Christians, and matter of fact, when he became a Christian himself, he was on the way to Damascus. He had some letters from the chief priests in Jerusalem to go down to Damascus and find anyone down there that believed in Jesus and bring them back and have them killed, or have them put in prison, at least, back in Jerusalem. And on his way to Damascus, which is in Syria, and you can still see Damascus. Somebody said Damascus is the oldest city in the world. I don't know if it is or not, but I've heard that said. But Damascus is still in the news today, and in Syria. And so anyway, Damascus, Paul was on his way down to Damascus when the Bible says a bright light shone from heaven. Paul fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And Saul had a life-changing experience. Later became known as the Apostle Paul. Saul was his Jewish name. Paul was just a Greek name, of the same person, just a different way of saying it. But from Once he became a Christian, he was generally referred to as Paul. He used his Greek name everywhere he went because he went out to the Greek world preaching. So he used his name Paul. But anyway, the Apostle Paul was preaching a gospel that salvation comes in Jesus, not through any of your good works yourself. Not by you trying to keep a set of rules and trying to live up to certain standards that maybe your church got put there for you, or a denomination got put there, or something else. It's not trying to live up to those standards. Because we've all tried that, and every one of us has failed. I was reading in the scripture this morning, actually just looking at a couple more scriptures as I was preparing, just going over the notes for this morning. And Jesus said to the Jewish people, he said, you're supposed to keep the law of Moses. He said, but not one of you has kept it. You see, and that was the problem with all the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses, all the ceremonies and everything else. And you know as well as yourself, when you were in a situation where you had all these rules to live by, you can't do it. And if you, even as a family, if you laid in a pile of rules and you say, now this is the rules of the household, I guarantee you these rules are going to be broken. You know, and a good example, you go down the highway, the speed limit is 100. That's a rule. I shouldn't even ask this, but how many of you are so faithful in keeping that rule? It seems like if it's a rule there, it's meant to be broken. Isn't that our nature? I mean, you tell a child, you can't touch that. You turn your back, they're going to touch it. God said to Adam and Eve, when he put them in the Garden of Eden, there were millions of trees there. God said, but there's just one that I don't want you to touch. What'd they do? They went for that one tree. See, that was the purpose of the law. It was just to show us how bad we really were, how far from God we really are. It wasn't trying to save us. The law could not save us. Anyway, that's getting into chapter 2 and 3. Let's get back here. Or chapter 3 and 4, I should say that would be. But anyway, Paul got saved. And then he went around and he started preaching the gospel, this new gospel that he felt, you know, he had to get out to the world. And they were legalists. And we have churches today where people are still legal and say, you got to do this, 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 this. And if you miss one of these things, you're you know, in trouble. And God is up there just waiting with a big stick, going to click you on the knuckles. And that's the picture sometimes that people get of God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So Paul went around preaching this, and there were some legalists, and they're called Judaizers. They were Jewish people that grew up under the old covenant, keeping the law, keeping all the ceremonies, and bringing lambs for sacrifice and all these different things. But after Jesus was crucified, they recognized that Jesus truly was a Messiah. They became Christians, but they could not let go of the old legalism that they grew up under. And so they came around, everywhere Paul went preaching, they came behind Paul and say, listen, after Paul had left, they would come up to the people and say, listen, you know, Paul told you fellows that you can be saved this way. But, you know, Paul's not really an apostle. Paul, you know, he come up with this on his own. You know, somewhere along the line, somebody's got this mixed up, and Paul's teaching something that somebody else has told him about. But Paul, and they'll say, well, Paul never spent time with Jesus. And no, he never. That's true. Paul never spent the three and a half years going around with Jesus like Peter and James and John and, you know, the other apostles. So they would come to the churches after Paul left and say, you know, Paul's not really a genuine, full-fledged apostle. And what he's preaching is not the true gospel. Because if you're going to be a true Christian, you got to accept Jesus as your Savior, plus you got to keep all these rules that we kept under Judaism. And one of the main contentions, because the sign of Judaism, the covenant that God made to the Jews, that they had to be circumcised. That was one of the main topics of contention. They said, you know, if you're going to be a true Christian and truly love God and serve God, you've got to accept Jesus, plus you've got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And this is the background behind the story that's going on here. So, you know, and as I said earlier, what we believe as Gentile Christians is what Paul preached. And so we look at it and we say, well, what gave Paul authority? Who do Paul think he is to come up with this new doctrine that you don't have to keep the law? Okay, we're gonna look at that this morning. Last week we looked at Paul's gospel. Paul said there's only one gospel. And he said if anyone else comes to bring you another gospel, he said even if an angel from heaven comes to bring you another gospel, he said let him be accursed. He said, even if I myself preach you a different gospel than what I've already preached to you, he said, let me be accursed. And then he went on any further. He said, if any man come to you and preach a different gospel than the one that you've already received, he said, don't believe him. And he said, let that person be accursed. That's what we talked about last week. There's only one gospel. Okay? Now, today we're going to look at Paul's call from God. What made Paul think that he had authority to do this? We're going to touch on this. Okay, Paul called of God. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 24, the last half of chapter 1. But before we look at verse 11, I want to go back and just touch on something we touched on last week. And this is verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Now, apostle simply means someone that's sent with a message. You know, you go out, you're sent on behalf of someone to carry a message somewhere. You are, in one sense, an apostle. Now, when we talk about apostle in the Scripture, we generally refer to the 12 apostles. You know what I'm talking about? You know, Peter, James, John, Matthew, all these different, not Mark, but these others. You know, and so we refer to those 12 apostles. And the apostle Paul. Paul's called an apostle. Now, so Paul says he's an apostle. But notice what he says here, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now Paul's saying, my apostleship, my call, my, you know, God sending me out, he said, never came through some man somewhere. He said, some man never called me. And he said, man wasn't the agency that sent me out. You know, and I just put this chart, I put this here last week, but never came out right last week because of the fonts. But anyway, I got it here again today. Paul said, it's not of man. In other words, the source wasn't man. Okay, it wasn't some man said to Paul, Paul, I think you should be a preacher. I think you know, and this is what you should teach everybody. Go out and tell them all this. You know, Paul said, it never came that way. It never came through man. Okay, that one's out. Then he says, man wasn't the agency. It wasn't God as source and man and then Paul. He said, God never said to man, said to Peter, for instance, Peter, go and get Paul and get him to preach. He said, that's not the way it came about. It never came from God as a source and man as the agency and then come down to Paul. Paul said it never worked that way. But he said it came by God himself. He said this was a revelation from God himself. It came from the Father through Jesus Christ down to Paul. And then Paul said, this is the way that I received this call of God in my life. Now let's go into verse 11. And this is where we're going to pick up today in new territory we haven't covered yet. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, or I make known to you, I guarantee you, I promise you. He said that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He said, his call wasn't from God, wasn't from man. And he said, the gospel that I'm preaching is not from man. It's not some idea that man came up with. And if you look at that in the original Greek, New Testament is Greek. I was looking up that word, not after man, and in the Greek, it's saying it's not man-faced. It's not man-faced. That's the word they would use. It never came from man. It wasn't some idea that some fellows got together somewhere and say, "Listen, let's work out some kind of a teaching to teach people." I mean, there's a lot of religions in the world today. That's all they have, just teachings. But Christianity is a totally different thing. It's not necessarily a religion, even though the world refers to it as a religion. Christianity is a relationship with God. And Paul said, "This is what I'm preaching." He said, "Never came from man. It's not after man." Then he says, for I neither received it off man. He said, I never received it from man. Somebody never told me this is a good idea to preach this, or this is the message that I want you to preach. He said, neither was I taught it. I never went to a school somewhere to learn this. Now, Paul, remember a few weeks ago when we talked about him first, he was trained under one of the most prestigious Jewish rabbis of the day, Gamaliel. And Paul was trained under him, and if you were trained under Gamaliel, everyone knew that you were you had a good education. You know, he was well respected. And so Paul said, but this gospel that I'm preaching is not what Gamaliel taught me. Now you got to understand, Gamaliel taught him the Jewish religion. Okay? He said, but this what I'm preaching, he said, is not what Gamaliel taught me. So what makes Paul think that he's got a good gospel? Notice what he says here. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. It came by a revelation from Jesus. He said, this gospel that I'm preaching to you is not the gospel that Gamaliel was teaching me. He said, but this one, he said, is brand new. He said, it came by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at that as we go into it. It came by revelation. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past. Now, notice what he says here, in the Jews' religion. Now, Paul grew up in the Jews' religion. But notice how he distances himself from it. And he said, you've heard of my conversation, or a better translation is, you've heard of my lifestyle, or my manner of life. Some of the newer translations puts it that way. You've heard of my manner of life, or the way I lived in the Jews' religion. Then he goes on to explain a little bit about his history. He said, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it. Paul was going around, as I mentioned earlier, killing the Christians, dragging them into prison, having them executed. Paul was out, and he was so set against anything to do with Jesus of Nazareth, anything to do with this Christianity Paul wanted to wipe out. He hated it. He thought it was the worst thing that ever came on the planet, and he thought it was working against God, and he thought he was doing God a great favor by going out and killing these Christians. That was Paul's life before he became a Christian himself. So Paul says, he said, you've heard, he said, that beyond measure. In other words, I just never went out casually. He said, he was fanatical in the way that he was hunting down the Christians to get rid of them. And a matter of fact, history tells us that he practically had cleaned up Jerusalem, driven all the Christians from Jerusalem, and now he was on his way down to Damascus. He went to the chief priest and got letters to go down to Damascus and hunt the Christians down there. He was going to wipe this thing out completely. That was his plan. And he said, I wasted it, wasted the church of God. And he said, I profited, notice again, in the Jews' religion. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. And he said, in my own nation. Why? He said, because I was more exceedingly zealous after traditions of my fathers. So Paul was a fellow that was totally committed to keeping the Jewish way of life and not allowing this Christianity to come in and interfere with it. That was Paul's idea. But notice what he says here in verse 15, and this is where the tone changes. He said, but when it pleased God. And this happened on the road to Damascus. I was just talking about where he saw the light from heaven and Paul fell to the ground. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, Paul was saying, even when I was in my mother's womb, God had a call upon my life. And it's something we need to stop and just think about there for a minute. Even before you were born, God had a plan and a purpose for you and for me, each one of us. Jeremiah said the same thing. He said, you formed me in my mother's womb. He said, before any of my parts were known, he said, you had it all listed out in a book. David mentions the same thing in Psalm chapter 139. Jeremiah said, before I was born, he said, you called me as a prophet. Even before you're born, God has got a purpose for your life. Have you found that purpose? You can run around wasting time and waste your life if you want to. God's not going to interfere. But listen, the time comes when you're somewhere along the line, you're going to make up your mind and say, now, am I really in the plan that God had planned for me? Or am I just trying to run this my way? And Paul was saying here, he said, God separated me from my mother's womb. And then he says, and he called me by his grace. Now, Paul's gospel is called the gospel of grace. Okay, we are living in the age of grace. And if you go back, and we don't have time to get into it this morning, but if you go back, there's generally understood there's seven different dispensations or time periods or eras throughout history in ways that God dealt with man. He dealt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden a lot different than he's dealing with us today. Under the Old Covenant, things were dealt a lot different than it is today. Under the Old Covenant, if you went out and picked up sticks on the Sunday, you'd be stoned to death. I mean, that's how serious this thing was. If you were caught in adultery back in the Old Testament, they took you out and stoned you. Remember the lady they brought to Jesus? They said, we caught her right in the very act. And they said, Moses commanded that we would stone her. What do you say? Now, that's a different message, but I'm going to just throw this in there. Jesus was telling him, listen, grace always trumps the law. And Jesus spoke in grace and delivered her. You need to understand, because we're living in a different time period. You understand that? So when you read things that some people says, you know, I can't stand reading the Bible. President Obama a couple years ago, somebody mentioned about the things that were going on, Islam and you know, the militants and everything else. And he said, well, he said, you know, some folks haven't read their Bibles. He said, because you can read this in the Bible too. And yes, you can. There's times in the Bible God told the children of Israel, go in and wipe out this nation. And we said, man, how would God, a God of love and mercy and grace that we know in the New Testament, how could God do something like that? Well, you need to understand that was under a different dispensation, and the price for sin was not paid for. Since Jesus died on the cross and took care of the sins of the world, you don't hear God doing that anymore. But God had to step in at places like that to wipe out certain things, because if not, it would have destroyed the human race. And that's why God would do that. So people read the Bible and say, I don't understand how this all fits together. You need to get a full picture of the Bible. You need to read it all and see how it works together. But anyway, that's a different message again. But let's continue on. And he said, God called me by his grace. God's grace is what we're living in today. We sing the hymn lots of times, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. We need to stop and realize how amazing that grace really is. And he said, when God called me, and he said, please God to call me to reveal his son in me. Now, you got to understand, God's son is Jesus. Paul hated anything to do with Jesus of Nazareth. Paul said, I thought, he said, it was my duty, he said, to wipe out anyone, he said, to call upon that name. That was Paul's purpose. His goal in life was to destroy Christianity. But now, all of a sudden, God spoke to him and revealed Jesus to him. And a lot of people today, maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, you know, I don't understand all this about Christianity. You need a revelation of who Jesus is. You need a personal encounter with Jesus. Now, you might not get it the way that Paul got it. I mean, Paul was, I don't know the right way of saying, a special example or whatever. Paul received it, you know, with a divine intervention and things like this. But every one of us, in our own individual way, we need to have a revelation of who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who died for our sins. He said, God revealed his Son in me that I might preach him. Now notice this, I might preach him where? Among the heathen. Now among the heathen, that's us. Okay, you got to understand, in Paul's day, all they understood was Jews and Gentiles. Jews and heathen. If you weren't Jewish, you were heathens. Okay, so Paul said, God called me not to preach him amongst the Jews. He said, but to preach him among the heathen. Now we're going to look at some, you see a green spot there in the corner. I'm going to put some scriptures up there, and we're going to look at it in a couple minutes. But we need to understand something, that God called Paul not to go to the Jewish people. God called Paul to go out to a totally different group of people, the Gentiles. Paul said this was a mystery all down through the Old Testament. He said the mystery of God, he said, was shut up. He said they didn't understand it. He said until now, the last days, God has revealed it to us. Okay, now, let's look at a few scriptures here and show you the point. And the point I'm trying to make here is that the Apostle Paul, why do we believe his teachings? Why do we believe what he preaches? Is what he said genuine? And this is what I want us to see, the call of God upon his life. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Now this is a story, and we don't have time to read it all today, but this is a story of when Paul got saved. And Paul, as I told you before, Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light, the Bible says, and for 3 days he couldn't see. He went into Damascus, and he was at a house there staying, and God spoke to a man named Ananias. Could somebody turn off the fans? Everybody's getting chilly, I think. God spoke to a man named Ananias. Now, and he said to Ananias, he said, Ananias, he said, I want you to go down there, he said, to Straight Street, and he said, there's a man there, he said, I want you to pray for us to receive his sight. And he said, the man's name is Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, hold on now. He said, I've heard a lot of things about that fellow. He said, he's got letters to come down here and have us dragged back to Jerusalem. He said, to be killed. And God said, I want you to go in verse 15. The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. And notice this, to bear my name before the Gentiles. Okay, Peter never went out bearing the name of Christ to the Gentiles. Okay, we look at a verse for that a little later on. To bear my name to the Gentiles, before the children of Israel, to kings, and before the children of Israel. And I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God had called Paul, set him aside to take the message of salvation to the Gentiles, to the heathen. Now the Jews couldn't understand that. Remember Jesus before he went back into heaven when he was resurrected? He said, go into all the world, baptize them. And he said, preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1, we read how Jesus told him, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and he said, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. 8 years later, they were still in Jerusalem. They couldn't understand how God was going to save the heathen. They're a bunch of dogs. They're a bunch of corrupt people, and we want nothing to do with them. And they stayed in Jerusalem. And so when Paul started going out and started preaching the gospel outside, Jerusalem church got upset. First of all, the Bible tells us down in Samaria, Samaria was half-breed Jews, half-breed Gentiles. Some of the Samaritans got saved. They sent Peter and John down to check this out and see what's happening down there. Because there's so much racism and so much tension there, they couldn't understand how God would love the heathen. And then on the other hand, you know, the people in Antioch got saved, up in Syria. And they sent some up there to check this out and see what's going on up there. How come God is saving these people? And they got upset with it, mad about it, and they couldn't understand that. And for about eight or nine years, they would not go to the Gentile world. They just stayed in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church got big, but as they got big, they kept the Jewish customs, circumcising their children, keeping the Ten Commandments, and all these different rituals that they had to go through. They kept all those ceremonies and all those rituals, keeping the feast days of the year and all these different things, because they did not understand that Christianity was something totally different. They thought it was just an addition to Judaism. You understand that? They thought it was Judaism plus Jesus means the gospel. That's not what it was. But that's what they thought it was. Remember what Jesus said to them back in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all mention it. Jesus talked about, he said, when you get a garment, he said, you don't sew a new piece of cloth to an old garment. Remember he said that? He said, because what happens, because the new cloth is stronger than the old garment, he said, pretty soon that old garment is going to be ripping. He said, you don't take new wine and put it in the new old bottles. He said, because when that wine starts to ferment, it'll burst the bottles. And you've lost the wine, and you've lost the bottle. Now, he wasn't saying that just to give them some idea how to keep your wine. Okay, he wasn't telling them that, you know, to teach them how to do tailoring and sew clothes. Jesus was trying to tell them, listen, this new gospel is not something that you add into to Judaism. Because if it does, it's going to explode and it's going to destroy both of it, the gospel and Judaism. So he said, no, you take a new cloth, and he said, you put it in a new garment. You take new wine, you put it in new bottles. This is why the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, the grace of God, had to go to the heathen because the Jews would never accept it. You understand where I'm coming from with this? The Jews would never accept it. And this is why the Judaizers, the legalists, got so mad at Paul, because Paul went out and telling the Gentiles, you can be saved, you don't have to keep all these laws that the Jews kept. And they said, hold on, that's a false gospel. And Paul said, no, it's not a false gospel, it's the gospel that Jesus gave me. Okay. He said, among the heathen, so we just read there, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, how God said, he said, I'm sending him out, he said, to the heathen. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 15 and to 18. He said, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace of God given to me. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. He said, the grace of God given to me that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Okay, we leave it there. I can read the other parts, but just to save a bit of time. Ephesians chapter 3. And again, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the people of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul said, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. He wasn't an apostle to the Jewish people. He said, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. And another couple of verses there, and I'll just go through these quickly. 2 Timothy 1 and 11. 2 Timothy 1:11. Paul said, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So Paul came out with this gospel to the Gentiles. Then we go over to Galatians chapter 2 in the book that we're already in, Galatians. And just look at what he says there. Galatians chapter 2. And notice what he says here. He's talking about he went out. Now, here's something you can do this week. Read Acts chapter 15. It gives you a background of what's going on here. Okay? Paul was telling this. He said, on the contrary, he's talking about when he went up to Jerusalem, and the Jews were saying you had to be circumcised, you had to keep Moses' law and all these different things in order to be saved, you had to, you know, do these things, that thing, something else. In order to be a good Christian, you got to keep all these different rules. That sound familiar to a lot of us? And Paul said, Paul had enough of it, and he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and check this out. Talk to those that were apostles before me. Now notice what he says here. He said, when he went there and brought it up and different things, and the people were saying that you got to keep Judaism and all these different things, Paul said, on the contrary, when they saw, that's Peter, James, and John, he said, when they saw that the gospel for the circumcision, or no, for the uncircumcised, I should say. Now, let me just clear up two words here. The uncircumcised, it means people that haven't been circumcised. That's us, Jewish, or Gentiles. You understand that? We are the uncircumcised. So when he mentioned here the uncircumcised, he's mentioning us, the Gentiles. So if you wanted to just change that word to Gentile, you're not doing any discredit to the Scriptures, okay? He referred to the Jews as the circumcised. Okay, so if you see that word there, you can change that to Jewish or Jew. You understand that? Anybody understand that? Okay, good. Okay. So I changed these words so it'll be easier to understand. He said, but on the contrary, when they saw, that's Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, when they saw that the gospel for the Gentile had been committed to me as the gospel for the Jew was to Peter, you understand? See what he's saying there? He said, the gospel to the Gentiles was committed to me. The gospel to the Jews was committed to Peter. You understand that? And this is where Paul was running into the trouble, because the Jews said, oh, you can't be saved without doing it our way. You ever grow up in a church that says that? You're not saved unless you belong to our denomination. Right? And this is what Paul's running into. So Paul's saying here, he said, when Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, and those that were leaders in Jerusalem church, he said, when they saw that the gospel to the Gentiles was committed to me as the gospel to the Jews was committed to Peter, take your glasses off again so you can see it. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the Jew also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. You understand that? And he said, when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the Jews. And you see that? See, a lot of people don't even read the Scriptures. They just get into a Bible reading program sometimes. Just say, I've got to get two chapters done today, and that's all they do. No, you need to study God's Word and see what he's talking about here. A lot of people don't even see these things in there. But you see how plain it is. Paul said, God called me to the Gentiles. He called Peter, James, and John, and the 12 apostles. He called them to the Jews. Right? And there's going to be a clash a little later on. That's why I want you to read Acts chapter 15, because there is a clash that comes eventually, and you got to deal with it. Okay, so you read that for your homework for next week. Okay, let's move on. I'll finish up. He said, when that happened, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. When God called me, this is what he's saying. He said, when God called me and to go to the heathen, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Remember, he said, this message that I got never came from man. So he said, I didn't confer, I didn't talk this over with some man to find that it was okay to preach this. Now notice what he says, and I'm just going to go through this a bit quickly. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem. Now you need to understand, the Holy Spirit is the one that's inspiring God's Word to be written. And why do you think the Holy Spirit wants us to see this? Why do you think the Holy Spirit is making so clear that Paul got this message from Jesus and not from the apostles? Okay, he said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me. Paul said, when God called me, he said, I didn't make up my mind I should go and talk to the boys in Jerusalem and see what they're teaching, so I'm going to preach that. He said, that's not the way it happened. He said, but I went into Arabia. Now let me just take you off track here for a minute. Arabia is where Mount Sinai is, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Okay, now Moses came down from Mount Sinai with Ten Commandments for the Jewish people. Okay, I've got people in my own family. I've told you this before. I got a brother that grew up believing that you had to worship on Saturday. If you didn't worship on Saturday, you were lost. You had the mark of the beast. You're going to go to hell if you didn't worship on Saturday. Need to understand, that was a covenant that God made with Israel. God said to me, he said, this would be a covenant between me and the children of Israel for all their generations. You go to Israel today, they still worship on the Saturday. But he never ever told a Gentile person to worship on Saturday. God made a covenant with the Gentiles, with the Jews, he made a covenant with them to circumcise their children. Their male children had to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. Jesus was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was Jewish. And this is what all the fuss was about later on, why Paul and them had to deal with this, because the Jews were coming in and says, listen, you can't have a covenant with God unless you've been circumcised. But that's the Jewish gospel. That's the Jewish teaching. Paul said, God sent me to the Gentiles. Read Acts chapter 15, you get a lot of that. He said, but I went into Arabia. Now, those that do up Bible chronology can take dates and times and everything else, and they can practically tell you what month of the year it was and everything else to Paul, and they tell us that Paul was in Arabia for 3 years. Now, what do you think Paul was doing in Arabia for 3 years? Now, you got to understand, Paul grew up, he said, I was a Pharisee after Pharisee. He said, I was as strict as you could get under the Jews' religion. He said, I was a Hebrew after Hebrews. He said, I was a Pharisee after Pharisees. He said, I was the strictest, you know, amongst his Jewish religion. He said, I was as strict as they could go. Why do you think God had to take him totally away from that in order to teach him this new grace message? That you're saved by grace alone, not by keeping the works of the law. If you want to jot this down in your Bible here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 is the key verse of that chapter, of that book. He said that no man is justified by the works of the law, it is evident, because the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the works of the law. Okay, now, so Paul said, I went into Arabia, and as I said, why do you think it, for 3 years, remember Paul said, he said, I got this by a revelation from God. This message wasn't given to me by some Bible college or some anything else. He said, I got this from God, directly from God himself, this message. And why do you think he was in there for 3 years? I think, I heard somebody say a while ago, he said probably the first 2.5 years, you were just trying to get Judaism out of him. Right? Now, how many of you grew up under a certain custom, a certain church, or a certain ritual, or a certain thing that you had to do in order to be saved? And I tell you, I can preach until I turn blue in the face, and you're still going to believe it the other way. Because you're still under Judaism. You understand that? And for 3 years, Paul was in Arabia. This is the same place where Moses received the law for the children of Israel. Now God was giving him a gospel for the Gentiles. You understand that? It's so plain when you look at it. And he said, for 3 years, he said, I went into Arabia, and then he said, I returned again unto Damascus. Okay, that's where he got saved. And he said, then after 3 years from the time he got saved, he said, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Now get this, he said, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him for 15 days. Now why do you think the Holy Spirit wants us to know all this history? I mean, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. Why do you think he wants us to know all this history? He said, after 3 years, I went up to see Peter, and I was with him for 15 days. And then he says, and other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Okay, this is James. James is the pastor in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem church. So Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem. He said, I was there for 2 weeks, 15 days. He said, I spent time with Peter, and he said, I saw one other apostle, James. He was trying to make the point. He said, I never got this from them. This message I got when I was in Arabia there for 3 years, God teaching me. And he said, I went back up there, and he said, now the things which are right unto you, he said, behold, before God, he said, I'm not lying. Paul was telling him, listen, you can believe what I'm preaching, he said, because this came from God himself. And he said, afterwards, okay, again, afterwards, he said, I came to the region of Syria and Cilicia, and notice this, and was unknown by face unto the churches in Judea. Paul said, I never got this from the Jerusalem people. I never got this message from the Jews. Why do you think God separated them completely? Why do you think when you get saved sometimes, God says, now you got to give up hanging around here and there and there? Not because, you know, it's a rule that you got to keep, but God knows that this is going to pull you to the other side. And God wants to get his word in you. And he said, he was unknown by face to the churches in Judea. And he said, but they heard only. All they did, they heard about this fellow that was going around dragging him into out of churches and killing him and everything else. He said, they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the same faith which once he destroyed. And notice the last part. And they glorified God in me. Now, I want you to understand, and that's the end of it there. We need to understand something. The gospel of grace that we have, the gospel of grace that we have, is a gospel that was made specifically for us as Gentile people. Matter of fact, you can go through the scriptures, you'll find out in Corinthians and other places there, Paul called it a mystery that was hidden in all the other ages. And he said, but it's revealed in the last days that the Gentiles would also be partakers of the promise of God for salvation. The Jews couldn't understand that. And like I said, even for 8 or 9 years after Pentecost, after the crucifixion of Jesus went back into heaven and the church was set up, for 8 or 9 years later, the Jews still would not leave Jerusalem until God called Paul and said, listen, go out and take the message outside. Take it to the world. And Paul said, he said, I am an apostle of the Gentiles, and he said, I magnify my office. Paul was proud to be an apostle for the Gentiles. So when you're reading something, I've told you this before, when you're reading something as Christians, now don't misunderstand, I probably shouldn't even say it this way, but don't misunderstand. When you read things in the scriptures, we have all the Old Testament. This is written to Jewish people. And sometimes we try to live by all these rules back here. You got to understand, that was written to the Jews. This is what was written to the Gentiles. Paul's writings. Now, it's not negating these or anything like that. This is still things in here. Jesus said we can learn from these things. He said these things testify of me. We see pictures of Jesus back here. We can learn from experiences back there. But this is how we live right here. What Paul wrote from the book of Romans up to the Hebrews. This is what, that's what Paul wrote. And then Peter and James and John wrote some at the end of it as well. But we need to understand that this was for the church today. We're living in the New Testament era. We're living in the age of grace, not under the law. This is why sometimes when you read things in the Old Testament, it seems like God was so harsh. And God had to be because, you know, it's the very same thing as if you had a little child in a crib and that child was asleep, and all of a sudden you went in and checked on the child and you saw a snake there was slithering his way up and trying to get into that crib. I mean, there wouldn't be enough force in this world to hold you back from saving that child. Well, that's how God had to deal with sin under the old covenant, because God saw this wheeling in and trying to destroy mankind. That's Satan's main purpose, is to wipe out mankind because we're made in God's image. And God had to deal harshly with sin because sin wasn't paid for back then. But after Jesus paid for sin, you don't see these things happening anymore. And sometimes people look at it and they think God is cruel. I've told you the story before one time, and I'm not going to get into it again, but I told you one time before how we had a cat. This is a stupid story. But anyway, we had a cat that got caught, or neighbor's cat got caught on a fishing hook. We were fishing and we had some bait left on the hook, and the next morning a cat was caught on it. And we had to get that cat away from that. I mean, we had to go through all kinds of trouble to hold the cat down and tie his legs up and everything else because it was almost going to tear us to pieces. And my brother said to me, he said, go up and get a cutters. So we cut the hook and we pulled it out and let the cat go. And that cat hated us from that time on. Every time she saw us coming down the road, if we saw the truck coming, the cat would have gone through the fence and gone so fast as you could go to get away from us because it thought we were cruel. But sometimes we look at God, because God had to deal harshly with sin back in the Old Testament, we think God is cruel. And people run from God. Listen, the Bible tells in the New Testament, God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his Son to redeem us. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we became good did God love us. God loved us when we were still sinners. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know, I've done some miserable things, and we all have. I've done miserable things. You've done miserable things. And you say, I don't deserve God's love. No, you don't. That's the goodness about the grace of God. None of us deserves God's love. Not one of us. But he loved us anyway. And this is what the grace of God is all about. The Bible says, by grace you're saved. Through faith.
All your ways are good. All your will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone.